Good morning. There was an announcement skipped, and it has to do with somebody's injury, and I have been asked to address it, and so I feel like I have no recourse but to work it into my talk. And my subject today is blessings or a curse. And the injury involves one of our hunters. And I was thinking about this after I read it, and I thought, every time a hunter goes out, he would feel it a blessing that he is able to get what he's trying to hunt for. And so this hunter amongst us today was probably feeling blessed when he got this deer. And he felt so blessed over having this deer that he took it home and mounted it, not knowing that this blessing that he had been blessed with would turn into a curse when he fell into the antlers. And so if Bruce acts like he's a little sore today and bandaged up, the deer, Suzanne says that the headlines of the Pleasant Hill paper would read, "Dead Deer Gets Revenge on Hunter." So the blessing may have turned into a curse. I'd like to start this morning with another story about a young mother that had just finished disciplining her two sons, and she was rather stressed over it. She walked out of the room and to another point in the house and said out loud, not knowing anybody else was close, "Lord, give me a blessing. Help me deal with this situation." And unbeknownst to her was her little girl. Heard her say this, and she says, "Mommy, what's a blessing?" Being surprised by the girl's presence, she tried to react quickly, and she says, "Why, honey, you are a blessing." "I am? I thought I was a girl." "You are, but little girls are God's blessings to us." "Well, Mommy, if little girls are God's blessings to you, what are little boys?" And she says, "Some days I'm not sure what they are. But they are blessings too." And so she proceeded to tell her little girl in a way that she thought she might understand, that blessings are things that make me happy, or they are things that are good for me, and decided that was probably as far as she could go with the age of the little girl. But we know from life's experiences that there is more to it than that. After all, spinach may be good for me, but it doesn't make me happy. So I've got a list of things I'd like to review with you right now, using this woman, this mother's definition that she gave her daughter. And I'd like to examine this list and make a check mark by each one of these items. Does this item make me happy? And is this item good for me? Is it possible that it can be both? Does it always have to be both? Or is it possible for something to be good for me and not make me happy? Or is it possible for something to make me happy and not really be good? So some of the things that I have listed here, over the course of a lifetime, when you look at the experience that you have with your family, you yearn to spend time with your family. But as this mother had a situation with her two young sons being frustrated that day, we would have to list our close family as being a blessing. But on certain days, is your family a thing or an item that would make you happy? You could go through the course of your life and find out that there are certain days that you're not happy. But is your family as a whole something that is good for you? Absolutely. Now, if we're going to go out to eat, we would have to list that as something that makes me happy. Now, is it always something that is good for me? probably not always. And on my list is pork chop on a stick. Is that something that makes you happy? Mike's smiling back there, so I think I know his answer. I like pork chops on a stick. Is it good for me? Yes, because it makes me happy. The argument could be made that a pork chop on a stick is roasted, so it doesn't, it's not, there's no trans fatty acids that are put into it. And so there will be people that will argue with you that it was overall, in moderation, it's good for you, and it makes you happy. Now, if you try to make the same argument for somebody that goes and buys a fried Snicker bar on a stick, you might have a hard time making that argument hold up for that particular food item. But as far as the list, the two categories of things that make me happy and things that are good for me, if you go poll everybody in here, some people like their job better than others. And if you ask people, is your job good for you? You would have people say, well, yes and no. I need the money, but it's stressful. And a few people will even say that my job makes me happy. I like my job. And we would have to obviously say that if we have a job, it is a blessing, because there are those that would like to have a job and don't. What about other items? What about exercise? Now, exercise, is that a blessing? That would probably get an argument. I see somebody shaking their head no already. But exercise is something that is good for me. Does it make me happy? Not very often. And so it's something that we know is good for us, so we go ahead and do it. We know it is a blessing, but it's a blessing that we really are not really excited about sometimes, because it requires work and sweat, and it's things that we have to make ourselves do, although we know it is a blessing that we're able to do it. Now, when you look at the sunshine, is sunshine a blessing? Yes, up to a point. An argument could be made, well, too much sunshine is going to be bad. And what about rain? Well, is rain good for me? Yes, rain is good for me. Does it make me happy when it rains at night? So a lot of the things that are blessings to us, we make conditional. We say, yeah, that's a blessing, but only if it does it this way. So we as humans have a tendency to want our cake and eat it too, as the saying goes, or we always want to have things occur in the convenience for our own lives. Two other items that I want to look at is food item. As we grow up, it's pretty difficult oftentimes to get a lot of young people to eat veggies. And are veggies good for you? Of course they are. I eat more of them than I did when I was a teenager. Hopefully my three boys will eventually make that same change. I don't think any of them are quite there yet. As far as having them be something that makes them happy, I don't think it makes them happy yet. Now, what about a stress test? Now, Joyce had to go in and do a stress test recently. She had pains in her chest, and so they wanted to go through a stress test. Now, is a stress test something that is good for me? You don't think so at the time you're going through it. Is it something that will make you happy? I don't think so. So, if it doesn't necessarily make you happy, and it's hard to think of it as being a good thing for you, but it is a good thing because it is a test that can stop something worse happening. So there are things that happen to us in life that we do not enjoy that actually are good for us because it makes us change course. There are many things that we wish for that we think will make us happy, we think are a blessing. Some of the human tendencies, as you're growing up, people that are getting ready to go into college, many of them make the mistake of analyzing which subjects to take according to what the career that is related to that subject will pay them when they get out of college, believing that the only thing that will make them happy is making X number of dollars a year. And I've heard, been told that there are amazing number of people that study to be a lawyer or any other occupation, it doesn't have to be a lawyer, and they absolutely hate what they have done. The only reason they picked that occupation was they knew they'd make a lot of money. But they've made their life miserable because they made their choice according to what it paid. Others have a human tendency, if they had the ability to wish, they would wish for good looks or beauty. And I have heard some people that have this trait tell me that it's not a blessing to them for what they have gone through in their life, that it has been a curse because of the way that other people have treated them over that trait that they have been given. And most all of us would hope or wish for good health. But is there ever a time, we always think of good health being both, yes, it's good for me, and yes, it makes me happy. But we also know of a lot of people, as long as they're healthy and have an income, they never have time to acknowledge God. And unfortunately, it is only in time of sickness that they are humbled to the point where they recognize the need for God. So sickness, unfortunately, sometimes is the only thing that will make some people examine who they are and where they're at with God. Many people wish that they could be smart. Many people wish that they could be taller. Many people wish they wasn't so tall. So all these things are human things that we think will make us happy. Two men got up one morning and they walked over to their window, and they got up to look out their window to see if the Lord had blessed them that day. The first man walked over to his window and he looked outside, and he saw the sun, he saw birds flying around, he saw that it had rained during the night, he saw the trees blowing in the wind, and he seen a dog running through his yard. And the man responded to what he had seen and said, "Boy, it's going to be hot today. The sun's out already." And he looked up and seen the birds and said, "Those stupid birds are going to hit my car. I just washed it." And the same man said, "Oh, great, it rained last night. The humidity's going to be terrible." And as he looked at the tree, he says, "Oh, great, another limb fell out and laying on my yard." And as he seen the dog, he yelled at the dog to get out of my yard. And the second man got up, and he also seen the sun. He saw the birds. He saw that it had rained during the night. He seen the trees' limbs blowing in the wind. And he seen the dog running through the yard. And the other man sighed and said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Both men were given the same view, and both men responded differently. One man took the day that the Lord had given him and basically cursed it. And the other man took the day and gave God the glory for what he had presented to him to wake up to. The day, whether it be a blessing or a curse, is usually up to you. So I ask you to consider the fact of all these things that we had on our list that people say is a blessing and people say make them happy. These things cannot necessarily be categorized as blessings or curses on a consistent basis. Why? Because it is how you take these items and respond to them. It's people's reactions, it's people's responses to life, to life's encounters that they have, that make it either a blessing or a curse. It's up to you. There are many times that people encounter traumatic events failures. Maybe they go to work and find out they've lost their job. It's been sent overseas. And it sets the stage for something much better to come. But it sure didn't look that way when it was presented to them. The inventors of this country in the last 200 years had many more failures, many more challenges than what they ever had in success. But the successes were driven by the things that these men wanted to make better. So, if we were to look at our list again and add an item such as discipline, the Bible refers to it as chastening. Would you list chastening as a blessing? Is it something that you like? So, is it something that makes you happy? I don't think so. Not at the time that it happens. Is it something that's good for you? Yes. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 6 through 11, tells us that the Lord loveth whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he corrects. We've all seen children that, as obvious, have never had any chastening, any correction. And the thing that makes us happy when we see that situation is when we can get away from that child because we can't stand to be around that child that has no chastening. So chastening, at the time we experience it, if we are the one being corrected, we don't care for it. When we grow up, we thank God that we had parents that were willing to chasten us. If we are honest with ourselves, it is only those who get humbled before they face God that will enjoy that meeting. The scriptures indicate to us that we have to humble ourselves in order to approach God and be happy with the meeting, because the Lord requires that type of attitude from us. Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, verses 26 through 28, read like this. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Now we know how this opportunity turns out, a blessing and a curse. The Lord provided a promised land for his people. An opportunity, if they followed orders, to be happy ever after. But the Lord's people never followed orders, and so they took the gift, the blessing, the promised land, and up even to the day that we live today, have turned it into a curse because they did not do what the Lord said. And the people are still fighting today. They'll still be fighting when this world ends. Why? Because they took the things that made them happy and followed that and forgot about the things that would be good for them. So they only followed through on half of the Lord's blessing, so they didn't get the whole blessing. Blessings in disguise are usually events that we don't choose to encounter because we have fear of the change that would be taking place. We fear what might happen. We fear the results. But if a job change happens without our choice, and we are forced to make a change in our life, it'll happen for better or for worse. And many find out that it was the best thing that ever happened to them, and they admit later, I'd have never left on my own. I didn't have the courage to do it. And I never would have gotten this better opportunity. So it boils down to whether blessings being satisfying, or whether you're satisfied with short-term results or long-term results. And if you ever thought about, as God hears our prayers and we have our minds so centered upon this earth that we live on, and that we're always asking God for temporary solutions, temporary blessings, rather than helping us please ourselves. We should be asking for things that make us pleasing in His sight, that we have the long-term results that we want. At John Deere, we had an experimental department, and oftentimes I'd walk by an open door, and there would be an electric motor hooked up to this part that they'd taken off of a combine or cotton picker or whatever, and they'd have this single part sitting there operating under load, doing its function just to test it, and it would be there for days, weeks, months to see when it would give out, see if it had a weak spot. Life is like that with us in our life. Day after day, week after week, fatigue can build in, and we can find that we have weak spots. Life is going to test you and find out whether you're truly aligned with God. When we have a child at home that we have to provide for, we worry about making ends meet, and we hate to even lose a single day of work by being sick. What if the blessings slowed down and our world changed? We live in the richest land history has ever known. What if that was going to change? Would you still be happy? Could you be content if our lives changed in this country? Someday this great land of plenty we find so much comfort in is going to experience change. Will it be good or bad? That depends on, do you think short term or do you think long term? If you think short term, only of what you have immediately around you for temporal blessings, it will be bad. And if you think long term about how you can please God rather than yourself, and your daily environment changes, you will look at it in a way of saying, I'm one day closer to seeing my Lord. And the stress that we may encounter if our lives change in this country will determine whether we have been thinking short term or whether we are thinking long term. If a difficult event in your life draws me closer to God, you may originally think it as being a curse. But if that event you respond to draws you closer to God, it ends up becoming a blessing. A blessing in disguise and not a curse. You will die someday. Every one of you. And the only thing that matters is whether you have made a mindset of thinking long term. And if at that day you are able to say, I know the Lord will make a way for me. You know, I don't like sirens. I find them distracting. I find them annoying. We have one out here on a pole, and when it goes off, it drowns out everything else. Sirens break my train of thought, which is exactly what they're supposed to do. They are a warning system to alert us of a danger, whether it be fire, tornado, or emergency vehicles coming up behind us. So call me a siren, call me distracting, or call me annoying. It's nothing that Steve Thompson hasn't already called me. But Steve and I worked together a long time, and we had a lot of fun with each other. But I only say what I'm about to say in hopes that we can be prepared and have ourselves thinking long term rather than short term if our country faces a change that we don't foresee on today's horizon. And what I'm about to say, don't shoot the messenger because you don't like the message. And what I may say may not ever happen. But I do believe that someday, without change happening soon in our country, that it's headed for bankruptcy. It doesn't get a lot of press right now, but this is exactly the plan that Al-Qaeda has in place. They believe that they can defeat us by tying our finances up in war, no matter how frivolous it may seem to us that it's 3 or 4 soldiers a day or whatever. It is draining our resources. And this has been a public statement that they have made in the past. They believe they can defeat us if they stay in it for the long term. Over 60% of the fuel you put in your car to get here today came from a foreign country that doesn't like us. They hate us. And the money that you paid to fill that tank up, well, part of that profit that they made from selling that to the United States will be used to fund terrorism against our soldiers that are fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. So as a result, the United States is funding both sides of this war. This is the first war in United States history to be funded entirely on borrowed money that is increasing the national debt. This, coupled with the trade deficit that we have with China, puts China in place to eventually own the U.S. government. Why? A lot of the money that we are borrowing to fund our war is being borrowed from China. I'm going to read you an article that was in Friday's paper. China should consider using its $1.3 trillion currency reserve as a bargaining chip against the United States, suggested by one of the Chinese leaders, because our senators are suggesting trade sanctions against the Chinese. And President Bush has dismissed speculation that China would do this, even though they are the second largest foreign holder of U.S. government debt, loaning the United States government $407 billion. So, most people don't know that the money that is referred to as red ink every year that we are growing, and ever since this war on terror has started, is being borrowed from other countries. So eventually we will reach a point where the interest on the interest, along with the money we're borrowing, will consume our gross national product. Is that 10 years away? To where, at a point where we can't recover? I don't know when it is. Maybe it won't happen if these changes take place that I mentioned that need to be done. But so between the war deficit and the trade deficit, China, the money they have is from the goods they sell us from the manufacturing jobs that we lost. And the Muslim countries of the world, they could change the structure of our country. And if this happens, will it be a blessing or a curse? It certainly won't be good for Christians. Number 473 in the Red Book is a song that says, "Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why." And it speaks in two of the verses about those that were never aren't living the way that we know the Lord would have us to be. And they're never molested, though they're in the wrong. And we question as we go through life why others prosper, living so wicked year after year, is the other phrase. There are things that will drive us crazy that happen in our world if we let them. And so the main thing that we need to focus on is that we think about the long-term results rather than the short-term. That whatever this world environment produces, we have to find a way to please the Lord. And we also have to believe that the Lord will make a way for me. I hope this awful thing that I mentioned never happens. I just know that I want to be able to please the Lord no matter what environment I live in, because in the end, I will still face judgment either way. And that is the only thing that matters. examine yourself and your relationship with God while it is yet today, while we stand and sing.